Welcome to the Chirpin' Birds podcast. The Eagles lose to the Arizona Cardinals 35-31 in, disappointing fashion. We were in attendance. We'll get into our experience at the game and the game itself. Look ahead to the playoff picture. Before we get started, Mike, how you doing?
I am doing okay. I think the pain of the loss is still there. I think that this is a loss that will linger for a long time, but the edge has been shaved. It's been almost, is this 48 hours? Or 72. Either way, that was bad. That was... there's a lot of humor in that being my first Eagles game. Your first in quite a while. And, you know, it happened at the hands of... Not the literal hands, but it happened at the figurative hands of Jonathan Gannon. So there's a lot of unfortunate poetic justice at play here, and I don't know if there's any way to positively spin any of it. It's just kind of bad all the way around.
Yeah, the first half was a dominating performance. If you look at the stats without the final score, you know, Jalen was 18 for 23 with 3 touchdowns, you know, very efficient. Not many attempts, only 167 yards passing. But he seemed pretty, you know, ready to play. I didn't have many issues with him overall. The offense really played well, I thought, in the first half. They didn't have the ball much. And they were helped with the Sidney Brown pick six, which, you know, was the most exciting part of the game. And little did we know what was in store for the second half after that. But I thought the Jalen's play was, the only real bright spot outside of the pick six. And... there weren't too many special teams. Or Jake Elliott hit, I believe, 1 field goal. Jalen, I thought, played well, but I mean, it's hard to really talk about the positives. That was my feeble attempt.
it's a hard task. I would say, like, Jalen, like, he played well. I don't think he was, like, amazing. He certainly made some less than great passes on that. The final offensive possession that ended with a field goal, like, I think he had a bad read on a... I don't know if this was a scramble or if that was a designed QB run, but... It still seems like he has, over the course of a game, like a handful of plays where he exits the pocket prematurely and like runs into trouble. And on that play, that was, I believe, he could have like slid for a loss of 2, but he ended up losing like something like 7 or 8 yards on the play. Makes it tougher on the third down. So, like, there's tiny stuff, but at the end of the day, like, this is not on him. I think you could, like, nitpick and say that maybe Jalen could have a game where he goes out and, like, lifts the team out of the mud on a day like Sunday, but I think you'd have to be a little crazy to think he had a large part in the disaster that was on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, on offense, the big question marks were late, you know, in the second half, the first and 20 sequence, you know, the design QB run, then they went right back to it and ended up losing yardage, and it ended up being 3 and 20. I think it was 2nd and 16, they lost 4. And then they throw that short screen to Gainwell, basically playing for the field goal there, which obviously didn't hold up. Brian Johnson had spoke about it today, I believe. We're recording on Tuesday night. And he was talking about how, you know, it's 2nd and long, it's an obvious pass situation. They wanted to catch the Cardinals off guard. Obviously, that didn't happen. I've started to lose more and more faith in the coaching this year. And the repeated answers, you know, the same answers over and over again each week on offense, and Nick Sirianni on, you know, I think that they're worse with Matt Patricia statistically. I don't know. I can't help but feel that Nick may have, you know, lost the locker room at this point. I think it's more on the players to somehow win in spite of the coaching right now. That's how poor I think of the coaching. And it's never been this, like, clear cut that I can remember in my lifetime as an Eagles fan, that I place so much of the blame on the coaching. I think not going to your big money-making playmakers as, you know, more often, I think is not a good system for success. Zach Berman put out a stat from this season that I think it was 3rd and long situations, similar to that sequence in the second half in this game, they passed beyond the sticks like 9 times and or 5 times and converted on 3 or something like that. Like they're not attempting the downfield play on 3rd and long situations. This is what I got out of it, that much. And when they do, they're more successful than not. And I thought that was pretty damning of the play calling yesterday. And I don't know, I've sort of given up on the defense. I think I've talked about that at length. I don't blame the defense for playing poorly. I blame them for not being able to get just one stop against a 3-12 team in the second half. One stop the whole game. The Cardinals didn't punt. I don't really know what else to think. You know, they're probably going to drop to the 5 seed. The way they're playing now, I don't know how they can go on the road and win. They lost at home to the Cardinals, so I wouldn't put it past them to lose in Tampa or in New Orleans, depending what happens on Sunday. And it's just sort of a bleak outlook.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're currently in the 5 seed, are they not?
They are.
Yeah, so.
And they're probably going to stay there because they need Dallas to lose to Washington, mm-hmm. and they need to beat the Giants to have a shot at the division and the, I guess, the 3 seed.
Right. Yeah, no, it is. It's a frustrating and, like, alarming spiral down, like,
they could have clinched the division on Sunday.
Right. I mean, they're in a very strange position because they clinched their spot in the playoffs weeks ago. And at the moment, they're 11-5. A few weeks ago, they were 10-1.
Yep.
So, like, this has all happened very fast, or very quickly. And I think I consider myself to be realistic, but with a lean towards optimism when it comes to sports. So, like, I may be coming to this realization a little late, but this team does feel like they are more of a wild card team than a team that was a division winner. And, like, I still can't put my finger on what happened. Like, were they just overperforming through their first 11 games? And this was, like, their baseline, where this is, like, on the bottom side of their baseline, and we're now just getting to it the past month or so. Like, I still don't know how to, like, classify them as a team, or, like, you know, like, what is their true talent level. Like,
yeah.
Did they just kind of, like, some part of this team is just gone? Like, they lost their touch after that 49ers game. Because, like, what you can say is it shouldn't be injuries. There hasn't been a significant injury in that time span. I mean, the most significant injury in that time span has been Zach Cunningham, who has been their best linebacker, but that was...
And Slay.
True, but, like, the losses to the Cardinals, I'm not... Like, to me, that wasn't, like, cornerback play. That was, like, almost squarely on the run defense. And then if you want to take it back to the Seahawks game, I like, it's not like Drew Locke was throwing all that much. I mean, the last play of the game, James Bradbury gets torched, but, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, like, if only we had Darius Slay, that was kind of, you know, the defense was okay, and that was a game where the offense couldn't really get anything going, but it's a fair point. I'm not sure, like, if Slay, when he comes back, like, things will suddenly feel like it was midseason. But, like, I think that's the most frustrating part, is there is no obvious indicator of what has changed. It's so clear to the eye watching this team that they're not the same team that we saw in the early portion of the year. Now, I think what it probably clears up is that this team was certainly benefiting from some lucky outcomes and was probably playing above their talent level. But again, like, I don't know, there's no, like, this was the thing that was making this team better than they really were. So, at least for me, that's where a lot of that, like, it just kind of, it's very puzzling, and I don't think there's really a good explanation, which, I mean, you're just kind of, like, hypothesizing what, like, you could have a list, like, 100 things long, and you couldn't say any of those are right, or you couldn't say any of those are completely wrong.
Yeah, on defense, I think, to an extent, one was a lot of turnover, but two, there's a lot of rookie play. I mean, Jalen Carter, as good as he is a rookie, Sidney Brown, Eli Ricks, Keely Ringo, you know, Morrow was cut. He was a practice squad guy. Cunningham was signed off the street, even though he's been playing well. You know, Blankenship played last year out of necessity because of the Gardner Johnson injury, and, you know, didn't play poorly, but he's still a young player, undrafted.
I feel like Reed's one of the few points of optimism.
Right. I mean, that's a nice developed piece to your defense, but you know, Nolan Smith, I and then you have James Bradbury's regression. I think that there are elements to the defense that you could say there's turnover, there's rookies that make mistakes. You could blame Howie and the organization for not valuing the middle of the field on defense as much. But I think it comes down to the offense at the end of the day, and it's hard for an offense to play knowing their defense can't get a stop. I think that can take a toll. But I think they're not losing with their, you know, Jalen's their best offensive player and he touches the ball every play, that's obvious. They're not living and dying with their best playmakers. Like AJ Brown hasn't had a 100-yard receiving game in how many weeks? 5 maybe. Devontae's, you know, been solid, but hasn't necessarily been the most involved. Goddard's been involved in fits and starts. It seems like the offense the last few weeks has struggled, and then out of nowhere has like one drive where they go right down the field, and you're thinking like, where was this the whole time? And then they just go right back to, you know, inefficient ineptitude. And yeah, that consistency is what's missing from the team. And I think they were a little more consistent in those weird loss wins, the close wins. The Bills game, you know, they needed to score, they went down the field and scored. The Chiefs game, the defense actually held out for you know, that they pulled it out in the end there. So I agree with you that it's hard to put a finger on what's happening and where they've gone, you know, what's happened. I don't know that I agree with you that they've always been a wild card team. I think that they deserve the 5 seed the way they've been playing, but I think they are good enough on paper to be a division winner, and they're just not playing with pride and with grit and with desire to win like they were last year. They just for whatever reason, it feels like they just don't have it. And they sort of front ran in this game. They were up 21-6 at the half, and in the last, there's been a number of wins and losses this year where they've had double digit leads and blew it or almost blew it. And that, yes, is on the defense, but you know, it's been an issue for weeks now. The play calling, the who's getting involved, what they want to do, the disgruntled, you know, receivers, all this stuff. And you know, Jalen's like one of the most efficient passers in the league, so I'm not like worried about Jalen passing. I'm worried about and I know that there's been like the run the ball you know, contingent, and I agree with the run the ball, you know, desire, but I also from being at the game and, you know, watching all season, but I've been starting to notice that there's a serious lack of balance, and the drives that go well are a good mix of passes and runs. And some of these drives that just stall out are like, you know, a run that doesn't work, a QB run that doesn't work, and then like a screen pass that gets blown up. It doesn't make sense to me that a team, an offense that's so similar to last year, can just kind of, you know, stall out and keep going to plays that aren't working and have and string together plays that don't work back to back to back. And also, like, I don't know, it feels like Kenny Gainwell gets targeted every other screenplay, and A.J. Brown's like nowhere. A.J. Brown had 4 catches. Goddard had 5, and I feel like they were all in, like, the first half. Or the touchdown was in the second half.
But yeah. I mean, what's your...
Gainwell had 4 catches. Current...
Now, I will say, like...
Devontae had 3 catches. You know.
It is... I have, like, just, you know, consuming content and just, like, talking with fans. It is kind of, like, there is a bit of humor in how strange it is to be, like, doing an autopsy of a team who has 1 week left of the regular season and then the playoffs. But I feel like we're given permission to do that, given how the past month of Eagles football has gone. Like, what's your jumping ahead, whether it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, like, what are you diagnosing as the larger problems on this team? Like, the coordinators, the coach, the breakdown of the team, the structure of the team, how they're built, like, what's your outlook, and what do you think is the path to fixing some of the bigger problems?
The offense to me is built like a top offense in the league. I think it's creative play calling and culture setting, and I think that's the coordinators and the coach. And I saw a tweet the other day, you know, they basically fired Desai, so they're going to be looking for a new defensive coordinator. And if they're looking for a new offensive coordinator next year, you know, Nick hired both these guys. And if he's going to hire 2 new coordinators and they both struggle, then, it's like you're trusting Nick who hired these 2 busts to hire, you know, 2 home runs. So I think the position doesn't look too, especially the defensive coordinator position, doesn't look too appetizing if you're a potential candidate and you see how quickly, you know, Desai was demoted and in this scenario ultimately fired. So I think it's a tough sell to get a really promising defensive coordinator in if they do move on from Patricia and Desai or whatever that looks like. On offense, I don't know. I mean, I think Brian Johnson is a smart guy and you know, had a lot to learn and moved up very quickly, and, you know, maybe at one off season he'll be able to sort of come back with some more creative game plans. But I feel like this season, the way it's trending, and at the moment, I don't see how this team can win a playoff game. That's kind of where I'm at. So I think it's, you know, I don't think they'll fire Nick because of all the success and
these slides happen. You could not do that. I think there's a 0% chance.
Yeah, this year, Nick's. But I think it makes it more likely next year if this repeats.
Yeah,
you know, I saw in 2012 the Ravens had a similar slide. and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So the team needs something to rally around, whether it's the Kelce, Cox, Graham, you know, group, that it could be their last hurrah together, or Jalen or Nick or whatever it is. They need some, like, juice. They need some sort of motivating thing, because right now they seem broken. There's a lack of, I don't know. There's a, you know, I watched the Michigan-Alabama game last night, and defenses were swarming ball carriers. Like, there were a lot of hard hits. There was a lot of energy, and I know it's college, but I haven't felt that from the Eagles. There wasn't a buzz in the stadium during this game. It was like, expecting a beat down and sort of just losing all mental resilience after halftime. I don't know. It was very concerning. I didn't think it was that likely that being up 21-6 at halftime, the defense wouldn't be able to get a single stop. But I don't trust the offense to score a touchdown if they need one. I trust them a lot more to score a touchdown than the defense to get a stop. But the post-mortem here is, I think the coaching is on the hot seat. I wouldn't be surprised if both coordinators are gone, but I would think that Brian Johnson would probably stay. They'd get a new defensive coordinator. And I don't know. I really hope that this playoffs and off season doesn't end up being like a transition year into, like, you know, a year away from being real contenders.
Yeah. So you really think they would take Brian Johnson back?
I wouldn't be surprised, because it just seems like internally there's a trust there, and I feel like it was, you know, when Doug got fired, it seemed like he was coming back, and they said he was coming back, and then he proposed, like, this same
yeah, he said, "I'm bringing all my pals back."
Yeah, and then
they said, "The hell you are."
And it, so, you know, something like that kind of happens on offense. I don't know, but it's tough for me to see past what's going on right now, because they, on offense at least, they have the team to win the Super Bowl. They're just not playing with enough pride to get there. And a lot of the stuff is fixable. Like, it's procedural penalties, it's miscommunication, it's like, it's not a question of talent. So that's, like, where the sliver of hope resides. But there's no, it's such an intangible thing to be able to fix details. Like, you could have all the talent in the world, but lack the focus or lack the attention to detail. And it's so, like, it's this ethereal thing that it's not like, it was a perfect play call, but it was dropped. Or, you know, they're in that situation again, they catch the ball. It's not, that, in a way, that's a little more comforting. This is like, they are not ready to play mentally. And it just seems like they're like a defeated, mentally non-resilient team this year. And I don't know if it's a Super Bowl hangover or or the culture, the coaching, or I don't, I can't pinpoint it on one thing, but there's, it's like, so, I don't say easy, but a team that was so locked in with every, all the details, and wasn't sloppy, wasn't taking penalties, for a team to just like completely shirk all of that, I don't see how they can just flip a switch and fix all those things, even though they should be easy to fix. And we've been hearing the same quotes from players and coaches every single week these last 5 weeks. So I'll believe it when I see it, basically.
Yeah, I do think that
that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I do think that a lot of the problems on offense to me feel very fixable. Now, I don't think that means that a lot of work would need to go into that, but I do think like they have the talent on offense. They have the quarterback. That is a much
They have everything. Brighter. They're just not putting it together.
Right. And I think, like, when we were kind of backsliding with Carson Wentz, you know, like, that felt so much more murky because all the signs are pointing to Carson Wentz was a big part of the problem. Like, whether it was the dysfunction of the organization or it was the potency of the offense. Like, I do think that Jalen Hurts has taken a clear step back this year, but by no measure am I nervous of him being a part of what's happened over the past month or so. Like, he hasn't helped, but I don't think he's anywhere near like the root cause. So I do think, you know, they have to take a look at the play calling dynamics. They have to, like, it's night and day what Shane Steichen was able to do and what Nick and Brian have done this year. I do think they need a new voice in the room, whether that is a more senior, experienced offensive coach, like an advisor, or if they straight up bring in a new offensive coordinator. I would probably be more inclined for the latter, considering I have not been impressed by Brian Johnson this year. And hey, maybe like, maybe this is what happens when suddenly Nick has more say in the on the game day play calling, and that's what Shane Steichen was better at. So like, maybe you just need somebody who's a little bit more experienced, who's done it a while, who has maybe a little bit more flexibility in what they call, and they're not going to be relying on the same like grab bag of four different plays when suddenly it's like third and medium at the end of the game and you're pretty predictable. So like, there are problems on offense. I do think they need to be clear and honest about that, but I have confidence that they'll iron it out. Now, that's all to lead up to the defensive side of the ball, which I think is much more damning. And I think there's a mix of problems. I think a lot of it is, like, there's a lot of just, like, it seems like there's a lot of effort issues on defense. And I get that it's late in the year and maybe you're saving up for the playoffs, but it seems like the tackling has been bad for a while now. The run defense last week was atrocious. They made James Conner look like he was Marshawn Lynch. Like, it was, you don't give up a performance like that without being a little lazy on the field. And I don't know what that means. Like, are these players just tired? Are they kind of in the middle of the defensive transition. Like, I know that Desai has been gone for a while and Patricia's still kind of running his defense, but, you know, anybody who's gone through transitions at work, when, like, you go from one boss to the next boss, like, it's tough to have that buy-in. Like, you can feel like you don't know what your job really is. So I don't know if there's any of that happening, but then there's also just, like, the, you know, like, Howie Roseman is still a part of these problems, even though this is in season. I think he needs to have, like, I hope at some point he understands the value of linebackers. I'm not saying you go out and use, like, a day one or day two pick, but, like, you can't just, like, scrape the bottom of the free agency barrel year after year. Like, it catches up with them every year, and this year specifically, when the injuries hit, it has been so bad. And it's what teams have attacked, and it's what they're attacking this year, and I think this year, like, it has really came back to haunt the Eagles, because they don't have the defensive, like, the high level performers on the defensive line or in the back four to help cover up those bald spots in the middle. So, like, there's nothing new or surprising here, but I think this is the first time that it's ever looked so bad.
Go ahead. Another part of the defense is that there doesn't seem to be a defensive leader. Like, Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham are the veterans on the defense, but they haven't had, like, a Malcolm Jenkins type or Brian Dawkins.
Well, who would you say it was last year? Because it's not that different of a defense. It's not like anybody big retired.
I guess that's true.
TJ Edwards? He was, like, their biggest departure.
I guess the combination of, you know, Cox, Hargrave, Reddick, Sweat, you know, Slay and Bradbury were better. Gardner Johnson had an edge. Like, they had more personality, I feel like, last year. This year, the D-line aren't game wreckers.
Yeah. And I think the two guys up front, Carter and Davis, have been disappointing.
The second half of the year, for sure. And, you know, obviously
they've kind of
last
turtled.
Year, Jordan Davis had the injury, and Jalen Carter hasn't played this many games in his career, so... And maybe it's conditioning, maybe it's just getting used to things, but it's definitely concerning, and it's just like a end of the season falling apart, and I haven't really seen this from the Eagles in a while.
I do think another thing, and this, I think, extends to both sides of the ball, like, the predictability of the offense. We've certainly seen teams key in on the strengths of Eagles offense, you know, trying to keep Jalen in the pocket, or, you know, play tighter, give him a lot of pressure looks, make him kind of hang in the pocket and hold on to the ball. Obviously not so much as the predictability of the Eagles on defense, which is, you know, the Eagles' playmakers are on the defensive line. If we can get rid of this ball quickly, we're fine. And that has been the theme that so many teams have just exploited. Like, if you can get the ball out quickly, you will be able to find a receiver, because the Eagles' cornerbacks and safeties are just sagging so far deep into the secondary. Like, that's just a recipe to give up a touchdown, like, 7 yards at a time. Like, I don't think this team has challenged other coordinators or coaches when it's came to playing against them, it's a very predictable team to game plan against, and I think that, like, that's an issue. You can't be, you're just like foregoing the opportunity to do something different or interesting or like hard to prepare for. And it seems like they're just kind of waving that and saying, we feel like our players are so much better that even if you know what we're going to do, we're still going to beat you. And they were able to do that last year. This year, teams had a really good understanding, the idea of what that was, and it seems like the back half of the year, it's finally caught up to them in a big way.
I saw a comparison today on Twitter comparing Nick to Chip Kelly, and that Chip Kelly, you know, after early success, could never make adjustments enough to stay, you know, stay in the job and to stay, you know, at the top of the division. So I'm not gonna make that comparison or anything like that at the moment, but it has been very concerning that they haven't been able to adjust. And there was like one or two games, I think it was the Rams game, they made a nice defensive adjustment at halftime and kept Cooper Kupp under control. But there aren't many games where you could put a, you know, there aren't many games that you can point to in which the coaching was like stellar or really good or, you know, a difference maker. And I feel like when the story of the game is that they got outplayed and outcoached, it's more on the coaching than it's on the players, but it's more on the coaching for setting the tone and preparing the team. And I guess I put a lot of value into coaching and in football, and I think that it's hard because I don't want to take away the agency of the players in talking about this and they need to perform better, but obviously the players are going to say like we need to play better, and the coaches are going to say we need to put them in better positions to win. And I don't think we'll find out what's going on with the team until the season ends, and then stuff will come out and we'll see what exactly we think the issues were. But I agree that, you know, it wouldn't hurt if they got a new offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. I just think a new offensive mind, an innovative, creative play caller who's got experience. I mean, Desai wasn't new, but he never had even top 15 defense, and Brian Johnson was, you know, there was like head coaching buzz around him like week 5 or something like that. So I don't blame them for promoting
crazy in
him.
Retrospect.
But I do think that maybe having a rookie or a first-time offensive coordinator for a team that just made the Super Bowl and is talented enough to get back, maybe that wasn't the best decision to experiment with.
Yeah, I mean, what would you, if you were Jeffrey Lurie and in your mind you were like, if this was purely up to me, I would fire Brian Johnson and look for somebody new and perhaps maybe somebody more experienced. But you heard that Jalen really wanted to continue to have Brian Johnson as his coordinator, would that give you pause, or would you just kind of say, listen, he had a full season and was pretty underwhelming? Like, there's, like, on the one hand, the advanced metrics make it seem like there wasn't a big drop off from last year, but I think as a fan, and we have been known to be emotional from time to time, like, as a fan, like, the offense doesn't feel nearly as explosive. It feels toothless at times, like, but I don't know how much of that is just like the QB draws at inopportune times, like a flailing offense that just does a running back or a wide receiver screen whenever things get tough. It seems like that stuff happens quite often. But just to bring it back, like, do you think that Hurts has like a big say in that? And again, all this is kind of funny considering we have a regular season game next week followed by a playoff game. So, like, all of this is perhaps a little bit premature, but I think after a loss like that against a 3-12 team, like, that a loss like that will send you to a conversation like this.
Yeah, I think we need to talk about what we're feeling in the moment, even if it is premature. It would give me pause if it doesn't give me pause that Jalen has say. I think he should have say, but I think if he's the reason why they're keeping Brian Johnson when everyone else wants to get rid of him, or if the owner does, I don't know. It's sort of a can of worms, because I think an owner getting so involved that he forces the coach to fire an offensive coordinator is not a good culture setter. But I think if Jalen is the main catalyst for keeping Brian Johnson, I think that gives me pause, because I don't know the behind the scenes relationship and how Brian Johnson pushes Jalen and you know, this and that, but and Jalen is by a number of metrics like one of the, you know, top five most efficient passers in the league. So you can point to stuff like that and say, like, look, Jalen's does very well under Brian Johnson. But I think that if the quarterback has so much say that an offensive coordinator who has shown a lack of creativity throughout the season for a team with the aspirations that they have, and the team is only keeping them because the quarterback wants his the person he has a personal relationship with to stay, I think that can be problematic. I think it needs to be a collective, collaborative decision. I think Jeffrey Lurie, it wouldn't give me pause if he raises his concerns to Nick and forces him to make a decision, but trusts him to make a decision. I think that meddling in a way that gives the people he hired agency is the way to go about difficult, you know, decisions. But yeah, I think it ultimately should be Nick's call, and I think Jalen should give input. But I think if it's not working, and, you know, Nick isn't doing it just to take the heat off himself, which he doesn't seem to be that kind of person, then I think that Brian Johnson should go if it comes to you know, that kind of conclusion. But I don't think that they should keep him just because he's Jalen Hurts' friend, and you know, with
yeah,
the whole
and I don't even mean to say like
didn't work out well.
Yeah, and that's I didn't even mean it as in like Jalen has known him for a while. I was more so coming at it from the angle of like continuity. Like Jalen
yeah,
has
I mean that,
never
that's a
had
good point
that
too, but
connection
the,
for
the lack of continuity. They got to the Super Bowl, or I guess that wasn't a lack. It was the first time he had the same coach and offensive coordinator a second year, and they got to the Super Bowl. So I guess, yeah, to your point about continuity, it might make sense for them to keep Brian Johnson.
Yeah, well, soon enough we will have the answers to all of these questions. But looking forward to next week, the Eagles play the Giants in New York. Or
New Jersey.
I should say New Jersey. Currently, they are 5.5-point road favorites. Believe it or not, they are favored. obviously the NFL has stacked it so that there is no rest advantage in different windows. So the Cowboys will be playing the Commanders in the same window. That is really the only relevant game. Like, I don't think, here, I'll pull it up. I know the Buccaneers need to beat the...
The Buccaneers have the tie break over the Saints and the Falcons, and those are the 1 o'clock games, I believe. So those games are relevant if the Eagles end up in the likely scenario with the 5 seed. So
right.
They'll know their opponent going into the 4:25 games, assuming the Cowboys win.
Right, and the Buccaneers, they are 5.5-point road favorites. So that is the same spread as the Eagles on the road. The Buccaneers are 5.5-point road favorites over the Panthers, so very likely that the Eagles will be in Tampa Bay going up against the Buccaneers in 2 weeks. And while I'm here, I'll tell you that the Cowboys are 13-point favorites, and I believe that is in Maryland, so it feels all but certain to me, not even depending. The Eagles lose, it's still the same because they are locked into that 5 seed. So, it's, you know, it kind of came to a screeching halt here. The Eagles had a chance, if they took care of business against the Cardinals, that they could leap into the 1 seed, grab the bye from the 49ers if they managed to lose to the Rams this upcoming week. Obviously, that's no longer a possibility given how the Eagles lost, the 49ers win and clinch. And that, to add to that insanity, what happened with the Lions and Cowboys game, which in retrospect now, it's quite unfortunate how that game ended. If the refs did completely botch the procedural element of the game, the 2-point conversion there at the end, the Eagles would have a chance to play for the 3 seed. They would have still had a game up on the Cowboys. Obviously, that all goes out the window. So, like, I think, you know, you can talk about how bad the game against the Cardinals was, like the run defense, the end of the game offensively. I think all the all of the compounding playoff implications that surround that make that even worse. So they slide all the way from 2 seed down to the 5 seed, and I'm not, like, I do think of the teams in the playoffs, like, the Buccaneers, I think, are manageable. I know a lot of fans are already out on that and don't see the Eagles winning. I still have a little bit of hope left, believe it or not, but that's something we'll be talking about next week for sure. But, I mean, against the Giants, what could you even possibly be looking for this week as far as, like, signs of hope that maybe this team can turn it around and, like, go out without a whimper?
Now, do you value that, or do you value health of your starters more?
I guess it depends, like which starters we talking. I mean,
would you rest the starters?
I think you probably, like, wait and see. Like, you see how the team's feeling at half. Maybe you can take a quick peek at the Cowboys game. Like, I think it's going to be one of those things. Like, if there's a starter who is, like, questionable going into the game and would benefit from not playing, I'd say, okay, what's the depth look like? And then go from there. So, you know, if it was an offensive lineman, probably not a great game to do it, because we know the Giants love to blitz and you're still trying to protect your quarterback. That's, like, one of the quickest ways to, you know, losing your playoff game. I'd say maybe don't do that. But if the safety can't go, you know, hypothetically, okay, sure. But, like, I don't think you're doing any, like, massive resting of starters. I think you do it strategically, and potentially you just do it partially over the course of a game. Like, this team lost the benefit of rest when they gave up their chance at the 1 seed. That's what it's there for. Be great if you could do it, and if this week was meaningless, and potentially it still is meaningless if you're looking at those lines, but this team needs to get things ready for the playoffs, and I wouldn't feel good about resting guys unless it was beneficial to a player's health. How about you?
I would, if the weather wasn't going to be so bad, I would say 100% play everyone, because they need to get in a groove again and get some good momentum. But because of the weather...
I do think the players need to, like, they need to get, like, right, like, emotionally. Like, I feel like they need to see themselves play well, because it just hasn't been that for so long.
Yeah, but go ahead. I don't know that will happen given the conditions, the supposed conditions for this weekend, but we'll see on that end. But yeah, I agree that I think it would be a good morale boost if they can dominate the Giants on the road this last week of the season. I just I don't really see it happening because of the last few weeks, so that's kind of where I'm at. And, you know, they'll probably have to, you know, even if they do win in Tampa, they'll have to go out to San Francisco most likely for the divisional game, so it does not get much easier after that. But that's about all I have in the tank, all I have to talk about. Do you have anything else? We could do a quick score prediction, but I think going through the player predictions and all that stuff is a little fruitless at this point.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I agree. I do. I forget if it was last season or for it was earlier this season, but it kind of makes me laugh now. And I think it was you said that this team is so good that they're like hard to talk about. Like you're kind of just saying the same thing over and over again. And I think it might have been in reference to the AJ Brown streak. You're like, yeah, I mean, he's amazing. What else is there left to say? And I feel like we have swung to the other side of the pendulum where it's this team is maddening. I don't know what else to say. Like they've perfected being frustrating. And
Yeah.
you can say that, but once you say it, it's like, yeah, I mean, who knows why? We can talk and talk, and eventually we'll find out in the off season what the main points of frustration are. But at the end of the day, it's just like, boy, I miss when this team was making me feel better. Now they just kind of make me disappointed.
Give me 23-17 Eagles.
All right, so you have them covering 23-17. You have them just beating the 5.5 point spread. Give me the Eagles reluctantly winning by a score of 27-20.
All right.
And they trudge into the playoffs with like the least amount of confidence a fan base could possibly scrounge together for a team that is 12-6.
As disappointing as this season has become, I think I only picked them to lose maybe once.
The same, and you know they paint us into a corner because I think it was they were favored in like every game, with the
Yeah.
exception of the Chiefs game,
In the Dallas game, I
the
think.
Cowboys game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it has been funny because you kind of chase you can't chase the loss. But yeah, no,
Yeah.
it made me laugh too, because I'm like, man, how could this team make me pick them after every loss in the past month?
Well, we'll be back after the Giants game, the preview, the wild card matchup, whether it be as a 3 seed or the 5 seed, or somehow the 2 seed, I guess if the Cowboys and the Lions lose. I
I
think
think
that's.
the Lions are locked into the 3 seed.
All right, well, whatever seeds are available. For Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.